is capable of in potential. Okay? You know, I was thinking about this because generations come and generations go. And the irony of it all is we all have the same thought. And that's this. We all believe we're going to do things differently. Every single teenager has thought that throughout time, even to this day. We all at some point thought, yeah, we look at the prior generation, think we're going to do things differently. We're going to get on top of things. And we don't. It doesn't happen. Because of sin. Missing the mark. Falling short of doing things right. What happens is we all end up, you listening, young people out there and here, you end up doing the same thing. Now, you might step back and say, here's the illusion, is that some generations have come up with new inventions, or they'll come up with new innovations. And all that does is make our mistakes much bigger than the ones before us. We make the same mistakes, but bigger. And we hurt more people. So this is the conclusion of it all. We need to do things differently. I mean, actually do things differently. Not just say we're going to. So I want to talk today about something we all need and need to think about. And that is, one is, hey, we need to have a rebirth. A starting over. We need to take a look at what is a true example of a Christian. And then we need to not only do those two things, we need to compare the attributes of a child of God versus the attributes of the child of the world. We need to know the difference. Turn your Bibles to John 3 and 5. Let's get started. Jesus, in this scripture, says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's talking about a rebirth. Into the Spirit, the real you, coming alive. It's more than just salvation and getting saved. It's a lifetime of nourishing the Spirit until God's character becomes not something that you attain to, but something as in who you are. Amen. You become Christ in character. When someone looks at you, they see the Father. They see Christ. No matter what experience or circumstances happens. A Christian is meant to be a miracle child. Out of this whole, life is a cesspool. And if you don't believe that, you live long enough, you'll figure it out. There's a lot of terrible things happen in life. And we all are floating and are living. We're all part of this cesspool, but God is trying to bring creation out of that cesspool of sin into real life. Amen. And those people he's trying to pull out, we should be the children of miracle, a child of a miracle. The greatest miracle that is needed in humanity is not the healing of our bodies. That's God can do. It's the healing of the heart and the freedom of our will. A true miracle is when a person is transformed into the character of Christ. And they're not that hurtful person that they once were. The Bible compares that to this. It's those who are few find that way. Many people wrestle with the help that God provides to heal them. When we come to Christ, Christians, we grapple around. We wrestle around with God over the help he provides. He designs out your path. He tries to help you. We went to him for help, after all. Sadly, what I have experienced in my experience of a Christian walk and with others walking with me is, a lot of people don't finish the race. They don't finish the course that God has designed to help them be healed. They become stagnant in their Christian life. I have been there at one time. Maybe they didn't write it. They didn't just like stop being a Christian, but they're not living a Christian either. They just are. They're just there. We wrestle against God's help that he tries to give us. Don't listen to learn. We don't commit to allow change, and we don't respond to the truths that God gives us in the scripture, in sermons, by spiritual people around us. You and I, we need a new beginning. We need a new life. We need to go a different direction. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are burdened with him. We are buried with him through baptism unto death, that Jesus, or that just as Christ has raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Now listen to this part intently. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. Live in that new beginning, that new birth that he gives us. We go to salvation, we get saved, and then a lot of times what I have seen and experienced is right after that honeymoon experience, we begin to stagnate in our growth. You know why we stagnate in our spiritual growth? Well, children in some of these countries that you may have seen through the different medias, when you are malnourished, they don't get very tall, do they? They don't grow very tall. They're pretty short, and most of us, a lot of times it happens because of malnourishment. They're more weak, more scrawny. That's what we are spiritually, oftentimes, because we stagnate in our spiritual growth. We don't feed that spirit. So we're anorexic spiritual beings walking around. I mentioned something about a true example of a Christian. Well, you know, it's actually hard to find. But there's there's a billion Christians on the planet. I am leaning toward that's mostly a name. Titus 2:14 says this. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every emphasis on every lawless deed and purify himself for himself, his own special people. Zealous for good works. So if you're stuck in stagnant position where we think once we get saved, we're okay, you know, just live your life the way you want. Everything's going to be okay. You're going to make it to paradise. Well, if you make it to paradise, you're probably going to have a really, really long lecture. Because here he says that he said he wants to redeem us from everything that we do that is wrong, not just some of the things we do wrong. I didn't go to God and get saved just to kind of be okay. I went to God because I'm miserable, I'm a problem, I need to change, things need to be different. I want to be something new, okay? But then somewhere along the way, we lose sight of that. Here he said, God wants a special people. In the King James, it says, what's the word I forget? A peculiar. God wants to redeem us from misery. He wants to redeem us from a worn-out life. Most older people, that young people perceive them as being worn out. Some of us are getting up there the ladder. We forget about that. You know, when I was in my teens and 20s, I thought those in their late 30s and 40s were older than dirt. Now I'm older than dirt. I don't have that opinion anymore. I'm looking at those in the 70s and 80s. Man, they're old, you know. That's what I'm looking at. But younger people look at me as being older than dirt and look at those in their 70s and 80s. Oh, there they go, Methuselah. It's all a matter of perspective and reality. You know, because Levi, he's about 14. He thinks Caitlin and Kendra is old. No, where are they? We're out here. No, really. He said, man, they're old. I started laughing. Couldn't wait to tell them that part. They're in their late 20s, mid-20s, whatever. But see, God wants to deliver you from this hurtful life, this worn-out life, and he wants to deliver you from failure. And he said in the scripture, he wants to deliver you from all of it, not just part of it. He wants his people to be, because in the original language, the word peculiar in the King James, and in the New King James, it says special. But in the original language, it says beyond normal. He wants his people to be beyond normal. I thought, wow, beyond normal. What we tend to look at is the MCU characters. That kind of normal. No, God's talking about this kind of beyond normal, where even in the middle of failure, I will stand up and I'll laugh it off as I'm walking toward, as I'm moving toward success. That's beyond normal. To resist the temptation of life that leads to failure is above normal. He talked about he wants a people that is zealous for good works. God wants his children to be zealous to do things right. Amen. The human tendency is to want things and results quickly. It is. Think about it. Well, instead of wanting to go home and cook a meal, we go to a restaurant. Well, when that wasn't fast enough, we came up with fast food restaurants instead of going to seated restaurants. And then that pretty soon we're like, you know, that's just not fast enough. That's not quick enough. We're going to have drive-through restaurants. Well, in this day and age, that wasn't even good enough. Now, we won't even leave the house. So we'll call Uber Eats, DoorDash, Chow Now, Grubhub. Some of these places aren't in Kansas, but they exist. Now, before you nitpick me, people out there, I want you to realize that some people are in a situation where they need to be able to use these. But the majority of us is, we use these outlets because, hey, it's the path of least resistance. I don't got to put clothes on. I can stay in my jammies. I don't have to actually talk to people. It's the path of least resistance. That's why most of us will use these different ways. That's our tendency. We do. We want to do everything quick, snap it in a hurry. But the sad thing is, we do that in every area of our life. Turn to Matthew 7 and 13 through 15. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go that way. Because narrow is the gate. Now, he says, this is why so many people go through the wide gate. He said, because it's narrow and it's difficult. That leads to life. And then right at the end of that, Jesus says, few go through that gate. See, we don't want to build a strong mind because it's difficult. Your preferences and your tastes are conditioned by the world. When we come to Christ, most of your tastes and all these things are conditioned by the environment, which is the world, everybody you've ever met, every book you've ever read, every movie you've watched, every story you've listened to, every conversation you've had, it's been conditioned by the world. And to desire the spiritual things, we must condition ourselves one step at a time, one decision at a time, until that becomes natural. I don't eat sugar in my diet. I haven't for over 10 years. It took me one decision at a time to get there. In the beginning, it was hard. I like donuts. I like ice cream. I liked all kinds of candy. I liked all kinds of things. I had to make a decision. One, resistance of a bite at a time. I could smell it. Could taste it without it actually being in me. I'm like, because I could. But you know what? After, I can't remember now, 10 to 12 years, I don't get tempted by candy bars and donuts. And I don't even, the truth is, I only remember the picture of what they are. I can't even remember what they taste like. I really can't not remember what the flavor is like. And now that I've done that for so long, my whatever we call it, a sweet tooth, it's very easily, I can meet it real easily. I can eat fruit, feel fine. It goes away. I can eat something that's sugar-free that resembles something that might be of sugar, and I'm fine. I don't walk around with this constant craving. It took me a while to get there, but that's the way it is spiritually. We need to make decisions. Because the more you feed your spirit, the more it wants. Amen. The more you'll want to listen to sermons during the week. The more you'll want to read your Bible. The more you're going to want to hang out with spiritual people. The more you're going to want to turn on YouTube and watch spiritual programs. Watch spiritual videos. You're going to want to do those things as you do it more and more and more and more. Just like we desire unhealthy foods, like I've demonstrated, because that's the way we're conditioned. We're conditioned to like fatty, salty, sugar-laced foods. But that can be changed. It's an illusion to think we can't change. Failure has less resistance than success, so we lean toward easy things. We've got to stop leaning to the easy things and grab a hold of something that's going to last forever. When you're younger, you don't eat right, you're not healthy, you do these things, you don't think much about it because it feels good in the moment. But when you start getting older and you start counting the wrinkles and you start seeing things you don't like about the person in the mirror of the body, you start thinking about, boy, I wish I hadn't ate that hamburger. Boy, I wish I hadn't ate that hot dog or this and that. You start thinking about it. Now, don't be judgmental on people. I say this because just because someone's overweight doesn't mean they're not working on it. We are all snapshots in people's lives. Sometimes a person has a problem. They are eating right. They are doing these things, but they're not losing weight because they need more help beyond those things. I just wanted to mention these as an example how we don't condition ourselves to want to be spiritual. Now, I mentioned what a child of God is capable of in their potential versus a child of the world. What's the difference? Well, a child of the world, they're limited by what they are conditioned to see. They are limited by the condition of what they're limited by the condition of what they can perceive of things. They tend to perceive things defensively. Something's wrong with me, or everything that comes, you know what I'm saying? It's like they're limited. They are influenced by others, even if they're a leader. We can look into politics and see that. I mean, leaders in the world need the approval by those they lead. That's not what a leader is supposed to be doing. And they are sensitive to rejection, and then you're controlled by it. Husbands feel this way sometimes. We're going to go on a date with our wife, and she's, you're going to wear that? You're like, well, not now. Why? What's wrong with it? You know, I always know when I'm wearing something I'm not supposed to be wearing because Amy starts spraying wrinkle release all over me. She goes, man, you look like your dad. And she didn't mean that in a good way. She meant, because once mom passed away, dad's clothes went straight to wrinkle. He didn't bother to iron anything. And she'll start sprinkling, and I'm walking the house wet with wrinkle release on me. Trying to get them out, you know, or she's falling behind me, stretching the wrinkles out. But, you know, people in the world, they're influenced by other people rather than, you know, they have a leadership role, but they're not a leader in the role. Or they're focused on receiving. In other words, decisions and the things that they do is centered around how I feel about it. How people benefit me, or how this place benefits me, or how this thing benefits me. When they become down on themselves, it becomes a hindrance. They lose motivation. They become limited in what they can do because they have no more of an energy of motivation. It's just, you know, I've seen guys at work where if they're having, you kind of get an idea when there's problems at home. they're not all saying they're meaner than the devil, or they just don't work very fast, or don't want to work at all, don't want to be there, so forth. They lose motivation when they're down. What else? Love only those who reciprocate that love. They shun those who bother them or don't benefit them in some way. And in the middle of all that, most people are controlled by those who hurt them. You know, when you won't forgive someone, you're being controlled by that person who hurt you. Because you don't want to forgive them. You're being bitter. You're hanging on. You're hanging on to what they did to you. They're controlling you. Temptation tosses them to and fro. They're emotionally up, down, in prison to it. And then a lot of times they turn into a collaborator with Satan's goals. They go around and they pass the hurt along. They can't stand self. Down on their mistakes, frustrated, disappointed. I think we can all relate to a lot of this. Emotions are stimulated through their thoughts. Their emotions are stimulated first and then their thoughts. They're driven by their emotions to make decisions. And because of that, they make and they destroy relationships. They make a wrong relationship and destroy a good one. They have to search for happiness and joy because they don't know how to be happy and joy. They have blurred perceptions of beauty, and it's always based on tastes and likes and dislikes. They have emotional injuries that determine their life, and that those emotional injuries for them is a roadblock, so they never are capable of achieving their potential. But a child of God is supposed to be a miracle child. A child of God can defy earthly limitations because they serve a God of the impossible, of the God of the impossible. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And Luke 1:37 says, for with God, nothing is impossible. I quoted this first scripture is because that they defied these people in the first scripture. It said that they were able to persevere through whatever they had to go through. Okay? Because they felt assured that God is going to finish this thing. God is going to bring healing to this land. God's going to do these things. Maybe they don't quite live long enough to see it, but they were just powerhouses in their lifetime in spite of everything they went through because they felt assured that God was going to do. They trusted in God. They captured the heart of what God can do with the impossible. And even if they can't live to see it, they just knew without doubt that when God says that there is a promised land right there, it's there. Amen. They are influencers rather than being influenced. Why? Because they look to God for that direction. They don't look to others and circumstances, and it doesn't matter how they feel. A child of God who's operating as a child of God, your potential is that you're not influenced by what other people think or see or this or that. You're only focused on what God, let God be that direction. God will decide. They are not receivers, they are givers. Always perceiving situations as opportunities and not a hindrance. That it might be physically, it might be emotionally, it might be mentally. They pursue everything as an opportunity to give Christ, to minister. They can function at 100% capacity when they're down or up. Why? Because they are focused on the purpose. Their productivity is the same whether they're up and down because they're focused on their purpose. It doesn't matter how they feel. They recognize that's just a momentary moment because the purpose carries on. The purpose that God created us and given us our calling carries on no matter what I feel. Because God is constant. Everything's focused on God. He's constant. I might be down today, but I know I might not be tomorrow. I'm up today, but I might not be tomorrow. But this nothing's changed. The constant that's in my life is God, His purpose, the calling He's given me. I'm moving forward. Who cares about how I feel? Amen. The child of God's potential is that they can, and what they're capable of is they can love the unlovable the same as those that they feel are lovable. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? How can they do this? Because they're neutral toward other people in their perspective. Now, I'm not telling you that they may not have some emotional feelings once in a while. But that's not what dictates what they do or respond. They have the potential to zero in on that perspective of Christ and be neutral in how they decide. Their perspective of people are that they have been hurt, they are victims, and this is an opportunity to minister. I'm not going to mention the details on this, but one example of that is I experienced for myself to lead me in this direction of thinking was when Mike was the pastor here years ago. I did something I shouldn't have done. It was some pretty bad stuff. And he was confronting me. And he was being honest with me, which I appreciate because that means I can trust him even when he's complimenting me. And he was letting me know, he's kind of angry. It was rightly so deserved. But he said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to turn that around, that energy, and I'm going to help you. I was flabbergasted. That's a really old word. But that's the only word described what I was feeling because I never had anybody talk to me like that. I never had anybody tell me how mad they were at me and then turn around and say they're going to help me. And then all of a sudden, boom, you switched. And he spent years helping me. And now, I never thought, and he probably didn't either in that moment, that I would be the pastor someday of the church that he founded. Who knows? That might have been, who knows? Maybe in that moment, because he was focused on the purpose that God gave him. He was focused on the calling that God gave him. That precious, broken, hurtful person in front of him, me, he was able to do what I just said. And I grew up, and I became a pastor. Who knows? Your potential in Christ is just so awesome if you follow all the steps that God gives us. Temptation to a child of God is not something to fear. It's an opportunity to glorify God by not responding to it. James 1:2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That means temptations and struggles. Knowing, this is how you can do it, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And if you let, and I thought this was interesting. He says, but. That's like saying if. Let patience have its work. So if you let patience finish its work, then you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He's talking about being, you will be complete in the character of Christ. It will become who you are. And instead of having to discipline yourself into being Christ, it will just be natural for you to be kind, sensitive, loving, patient. You won't even have to think about it. It'll just be a natural reflection. I mean, not just a natural reflection, but an actual just response, kindness, love. What else? Well, a child of God is capable and has the potential to actually like themselves even if they're not okay. Because, see, one thing I've learned that Mike had shared with me one time that there's lots of things he shared with me revolutionizing, so it all depends on what I'm talking about. But one thing he shared with me from the scriptures is he said, you know, Joe, when you're being down on yourself, you're actually attacking God personally. I was like, what? He said, well, turn to Ephesians 2 and 10. So we're going to do that too. Ephesians 2, 10, he told me this. He says, for we are his workmanship, Christ's, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. I was criticizing God's work by being down on myself. What I realized after a while, and I'm going to quote Paul, and that is this. He says, I realize that you are where you are by the grace of God. I am where I am because of the grace of God, which means that God has done the great work in me up to this far without taking away my free will. That's precious. He could have made me, but he taught me and got me to want to be there, want to be it this far. This is something to celebrate, not be down on. I can look over and say, yeah, I got a lot of problems, but hey, man, look how far he's brought me. Boy, I wonder what it's going to be like when I get over there. It's going to be awesome. Emotions are used. This is kind of the example that I used earlier with the story about Mike, but emotions are used for energy. They are not your slave master. See, decisions are made based on purpose and the word of God. Amen. Not my emotions. You can say in a practical sense, you can do this. And this is kind of what I said in that example earlier, was you switch the focus from wrong perspective to a correct one, and then you can accomplish ministering. Amen. Because that's what it is, isn't it? When you become fearful, you're afraid this animal or this incident or this or whatever is happening that creates your fear, all of a sudden you've got a tremendous amount of energy to respond quickly, right? So that's all it is. It's just energy. So why not, if this is energy, we have the capacity in Christ to take that energy, switch his focus, and still use it. You mad? Clean your house. Probably clean it real quickly. Or mow the lawn faster than what you do in the past, or whatever. You have the power in Christ to make a decision of how you're going to use that emotional energy. Learn to create opportunities to think in a way that you can be happy and you can rejoice. This is our capacity. This is our potential. 1 Peter 4 and 13 says, rejoice to the extent that you are the partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Now, I think this is talking about that his glory is going to be revealed in you. You will become the person you've always wanted to be in Christ. You will see that person come alive along the way in Christ. See, God can teach us how to be happy, so everything around us is no longer influencing that. Whether we lack or plenty, we're happy. Whether we have loss or gain, we're happy. Because happy is not how you feel, it's how you think. Amen. What we find that's joy in our lives as a Christian is how that we think about it. Because some people enjoy jumping out of, 30,000 feet of air and going all the way to the ground, or you can enjoy walking with that person. It might be a loved one or someone you minister to, and you're walking. And you say something, you do something, and they become the better version of themselves, and you can see it happen. That is super awesome, joyful. Amen. Amen. We choose. We're not driven about our relationships. We choose. A Christian has a capacity and potential to choose their friends based on God's word, the purpose and to supplement and edify the other person. We will look at those. Here's what a Christian has capacity, potential to do is we're in a body of Christ. We should be looking for those who have the greatest need in Christ. See, one thing I loved about this church when I first came to this church many years ago, and I was not a nice person, but I had gained a lot of friends, and they practiced, I didn't understand this at the time, but they practiced this principle, and that was they saw a great need of Christ in me. But they created a good relationship with me. A child of the world will have to go out and find it. You haven't heard people, they even don't have a good relationship themselves. You ever heard people say, well, I'm going to go out and find myself. You know, that's crazy. That's crazy talk. You are who Christ said you are, and you are who you decided to be. But see, we don't have to look in the body and Christ said, I don't know if I like these people, but I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn what their strengths are. I'm going to learn what their potentials are. I'm going to learn to perceive them the way Christ would, and then it'll be easy to like them. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Almost to the end. A child of God has the potential, has the capacity to be a promoter of success in all areas of life. 3 John 1 and 2, he said this, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. All areas of our life is important to a child of God. Emotionally, we should preserve the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is our bodies, but we should preserve ourselves emotionally, mentally, and physically. All of it should matter to us. All aspects of society should matter to us in being able to be successful in those areas. And then allow God to heal those emotional injuries. Psalms 25, 8 through 9. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches in his ways. We need to see difficulties and the challenges in our life as opportunities to learn and relate to the suffering of others. So I'm encouraging you this morning to stay in that process no matter what you feel like your suffering is until the time of healing has come for you. Our emotional injuries was given to us by Satan and his systems and collaborators of his system. We did not choose to have them, but we can't pretend like they're not there. They are there. I have learned I cannot always trust my perception of every single thing that happens. I try not to allow myself to be extremely confident about what I heard and what I saw. What I used to do was I would be confident that I heard this person say this. I think I perceive this person right. And we all do this. We've all had multiple experiences in our life where what we heard and what we saw, we found out later was wrong. Right? Am I wrong about that? Okay, I'm starting to get worried. We've all had incidences where we found out we were wrong. And it didn't just happen one time. It's happened a lot throughout our life. But yet, we still will be prideful and confident that what we heard when we saw in that moment has to be true. It's almost like having dementia, but don't believe it. Or I should say, you don't have a very good memory, and you're constantly forgetting where your keys are, forgetting this or that. And then, even though you know you don't remember things well, you'll still think, oh, I heard that right. Or this person did do that. I saw him. You know, we're not humble. I have learned that, you know, Maybe this is true. Maybe this is true. Maybe this is not. I'm not going to stand with absolute stubbornness. I'm gonna give a little bit of slack there because I might be wrong. Especially in the body of Christ with each other. You know, if you have these powerful emotions that this person really hurt you, you need to stop and think, wait a minute, how much of this is my emotional injury and how much of this is true? We hurt each other all because it feels true. Not that it is true. We don't even know if it is true. We just feel that it's true. Well, our feelings betray us and have our whole life. How many times have you felt like doing something, eating something, going somewhere, and it was a bad decision, and it proved to be a bad decision, and you based it off of how you feel? How you feel is someone you can't trust, or something you can't trust. Because it's come from a conditioning of the world. So in closing, I encourage you to think of this. You are on a journey to be a miracle child. Stay on that journey. To be a true Christian is rare. It is priceless experience, but worth it. A child of God has a capable potential that is limitless. Stay the course. God, we love you. We hope we see you next week at 11 a.m. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Live stream.